But this is the Memorial Day weekend, and we're calling the title of this message Memorial Part 2. I was asked, well, what was Part 1? Well, you'd had to been here last Memorial Day weekend. So it's a distant 2. But to cover this a little bit, it's the real title to this message, the understanding of this message is cost versus value. In 1971, that was the year that this country actually had established the federal holiday of Memorial Day. We observe this day every year in remembrance with gratitude for the sacrifices of so many for our nation. Billy Graham in 1955 addressed the veterans of foreign war. This was 16 years before the holiday was actually established. And this is an excerpt. It's actually his address in 1955 is considered the best Memorial Day message ever. So he says here, the freedoms we enjoy, the freedoms we take so much for granted, the freedoms we so often trifle with were bought not by the gold of our millionaires, nor altogether the genius of our scientists, nor the sacrifices of the people at home, but primarily by the blood, sweat, and agony of those whose name on this day we honor, those who died that we might live. Now I join you this weekend in saluting those who have gone before, those that have given so dearly, so much that we may have the opportunity to live, to choose, and to do what we can to make the sacrifice worth it. So it is a very solemn concept. I often agree with the rest of the world that Americans are flippant, trivial, and soft. Because we take this stuff, the history of our own country, too lightly. We are here today, and we are humbled and should give thanks for these opportunities. So me personally, I thank all that have given, directly and indirectly, giving so much, including the lives for our freedom. You know, I think of these things, and especially at this time of year, those who have gone before and sacrificed so much, and think of what is the value of such an effort, or the loss and dedication that was demonstrated that so you and I may enjoy the days we have here on earth with our loved ones and those that we have yet to meet and get to know. See, there is no payment that I can make or even offer, no matter how ridiculous the offer I make, that would cover the cost to gain the liberties that I get to enjoy from the men and women that I don't even know. This time every year, I remember the cemetery scene from Saving Private Ryan. I did not watch the whole movie this year, but I did watch that scene because I wanted to get the quote right. And I'm telling you what, just watching that scene still tears me up every time. So, you've got Private Ryan with his family visiting Arlington Cemetery where the fallen soldiers and they're memorialized and some are buried there. Private Ryan is talking to the cross that marks the side of Captain John H. Miller. And he says, every day I think about what you said to me on that bridge. I tried to live my life the best I could. I hope that it was enough. I hope that in your eyes, I've earned what you have done for me. Then he asks his wife, tell me I've led a good life. Tell me I am a good man. Like I said, that scene tears me up every time. I got through it without squirting, just repeating it. But you know, if you've heard me speak on this movie before, it's because I have. Then if you have heard the last message, then you know how this speaks to me personally. Because when I first watched this movie, as I was watching, couldn't help but simultaneously draw parallels, not just to the Americans who went before me and gave so much that you and I would have a chance at freedom and all that freedom entails, but more so the men and women from history that made it possible for you and me to even hear the gospel of Jesus the Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus, the sacrifice that God himself offered up so that you and I could be truly free. The price that was paid by the lives lost to save Private Ryan was a great price. It was greater than what could ever be measured. And the price that our Lord and Savior paid on the whipping post alone is more than I can repay. The price that the Lord, our Savior, paid in carrying the cross to the hill, I cannot repay. The agony being nailed and hung on that cross, I cannot repay. The result of what Christ endured, the death on the cross, the burial in the tomb, all are too much to repay. The resurrection and the demonstration of God's power over sin and death, that was for our benefit. What can we do to repay? Well, the answer is easy. If you haven't thought of it already, we honor them. Every day should be lived out in gratitude with intention. Whether you're a believer or not, so much has been given that we would have this nation, that we would have the freedoms that still remain, that we would have the opportunities to these things. The desire to try as best as possible to live up to a promise, an oath to make it worth it. As Captain John H. Miller asked of Private Ryan with his last breath on that bridge, make it worth it. Jesus made it clear with the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, and soul. And the second is as the first, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Some would say that either request is too big of an ask or too big a burden on someone. How could anyone possibly do anything to reconcile that large of an account? No one can. With only one life to reconcile so many? That was the question on Ryan's heart that day at the cemetery. But one can honor the request by living a full life, not squandering the opportunities, not living a trivial life, nor an aimless life. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, it says, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. You see, we've been offered up the very Son of God, one life on the cross, not for many only, but for all of mankind. What was done from heaven, what was done of God by his Son, and yet there is more. There's more. In John 14:26, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. See, God's plan was for us to receive the Holy Spirit that he sent. And he sent the Holy Spirit to be our counselor and our comforter. There is a cost. Something had to be paid for freedom, and the cost of freedom is very high. As it was foretold in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, in the 53rd chapter, verse 5 of the book of Isaiah, it says, "But he was pierced by our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." You see, it was a life for a life. It was blood for blood, reconciling man to God. I don't know. Just treat it like it's youth group. Just wait until it quiets down, and then I'll continue. Okay, so it was a life for life and blood for blood, reconciling man to God with the promise of our freedom to be restored, though sin had robbed us of it and of eternal life. In Ephesians 1:7, it says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in his grace." And I died and came back. My voice was just resurrected. The very battle that Ryan was going to experience after the War of the World is a very similar battle to our own. Let us not forget, it's the battle of value. The price had already been paid. Now a life is still needing to be lived. So a question we ask ourselves, is it going to be a life of regret? Or a life lived, urged on by the value of what has been sacrificed for the very opportunities? In Galatians 5:1, it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." To deny the sin that had once entangled us and pulls us low, or to be enslaved by it. To live, to stand, and to carry the life, the burden that does not condemn us, but sets us free. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 29 and 30, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." See, the burden of life lived for the one who died and of the one who rose again, ensuring those who believe and call on his name, they will be saved. It is a light burden. It is not too much to bear. All our life is to be offered up as a living sacrifice, for the burden of sin to be lifted and the lowly being lifted above the weight of that sin. Romans 8, chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death." The battle is over. The war has been won. No longer enslaved by your sin, the yoke of bondage of sin is destroyed. Sin and death are off the table. Hallelujah. But don't get too excited. The enemy has no claim on the lives of those who have surrendered their souls to God, to be children of the one true God. Righteousness is now the necklace adorning our necks, when the millstone of sin is removed. See, in Romans 6:18, it says, "You've been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." This freedom in Christ is a wonderful gift. It's a gift of immeasurable value. We are to remember that it came at a great cost. I'm going to forget I did that. Jesus paid the price for our sins with his life, and in doing so, he grants us this incredible freedom. Only when we understand the sacrifice can we appreciate the sacrifice. And when we appreciate that sacrifice, we will accept the responsibility that comes with the freedoms. We need to be mindful of how we live and represent Christ in everything we do. In 1 Peter 3:18, it says, "For Christ also suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit." Understanding that freedom is not the absence of restraint, which some think it is. Freedom is living out the life of the love of God and in his purpose. The freedom comes when we allow ourselves to let go of the worry of what the world thinks, the pressure of being accepted by it, and by listening for the Holy Spirit's urging and let him, allow him to guide us. This will lead us to living in peace and prosperity. And I'm not talking about monetarily, but true prosperity, which will illuminate our Lord Jesus Christ to those around us. See, our freedom does not consist of us being able to do whatever or to be used to condemn others, nor is it a free pass. It is to be used for the glory of our God. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old has gone. The new is here." A new creation has come. A new nature will be present. A new spirit to guide, correct, and replace the old. In Galatians 5:25, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." 1 Corinthians 2:12, "What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us." I found it. So in the freedom that God, also through the prophets and by the way of his apostles, it is undeniable that fear has no place in a believer's life. I'm going to repeat that so you can make sure you hear it. There is no place for fear in a believer's life. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline." And 1 John 4:18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears is not made perfect in love." See, it's much more than the promises of man. God has promised freedom to his children, and his word endures where the word from man is circumstantial at best. I'd like to ask the music team to come up at this time. I didn't promise it was going to be short, but here you go. I'd rather, overgive than oversell. So God has a plan for you. And like any other plan, it has been fleshed out. See, that's the difference, I got to clarify. That's the difference between having an idea and having a plan. A plan means all the details are lined up. Okay? So God has fleshed out this plan and he has set it before you. And it's unlike any other plan, because God's plan has the power and authority and his stamped seal from the great I Am. There is no power and authority in the self-imposed oath that Ryan made to Miller to make it worth it. It's a good story, good story to be told on a movie screen, a story that, you know, makes me look inward and also inspires a closer look at the life I live now and how I may be more thankful, more considerate and generous with the time I have here on earth. The idea is that my time here is not my own, but a provision of God for a work, and a work that I cannot complete without God at the helm. To be mindful of what is the purpose of my existence and for what outcome. So to all those that have gone before, to all those who have sacrificed, and all to those who are willing to lay it on the line for future generations, I salute you today with gratitude and humility. My hope Dramatic pause. My hope is that we all would take an honest look and see if the price that was paid has the value that it should. I'm not trying to get us burdened with functional legality. I am saying that there should be a value to the immeasurable price that was paid, which is evident by what we do with it. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'll leave you with Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So basically, we should be inspired to live a life so we'd be able to say on that day, I tried to live a good life the best I could. And I hope that in at least try that again. Basically, no, actually, we should be inspired to live a life so we'd be able to say on that day, I've tried to live a good life the best I could, and I hope that at least in your eyes, at least in your eyes, I have earned what you did for me. You know, I really hate when that happens. 'Cause I'm a dude. But that's your Memorial Day message. Versus cost. The cost has already been paid. The value is what you make of it. You've got another year to think on it until you hear about Private Ryan again next year. But you know, we have a gracious God who, with all our smells and our bad attitudes, behavior, still loves us. He wants nothing more than for us to come home. Amen. You know, I was thinking this morning, what a great opportunity to pray. Whether you have surrendered, but I'll tell you right now, I already know the answer, but if you are not serving God like you could or you should, then you can rededicate today. And that, you know, and if you don't know, if you haven't really truly given your life to Christ, then this would be an awesome day. Because as I was thinking this morning, it's Memorial Day weekend. What an awesome way to put a landmark in your walk with Christ, wouldn't it be? Because then you're reminded by the calendar every year, this is the day I remember. This is the day I honor. Because this is the day I committed for the first time, or I recommitted. I've asked for forgiveness for my failures through the week, through the year, through the life. I ask that your blood cover my sins and restore me to the place next to my God for all of eternity. I will be able to be there because of what has been done for me, and I want to memorialize that today. So if I had everyone, please bow your heads. And this is between you and God. I don't want to see hands. I don't want to, you don't have to come up front. We're just going to agree this morning because we believe this morning that there is a better way than the way we've been living. That there is a level of commitment that just hasn't been met. That there is a certain amount of trivial behavior and flippant attitude towards the great promise that God has given by the great sacrifice, the true demonstration of His love at the cross. So today, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we rededicate today to You. We ask that You forgive us of all of our shortfalls, Lord. We know that they are many. And we know that Your love covers a multitude of sin, but we don't want to use it as an excuse to continue in the way we're living now. We want to glorify You. We want to illuminate Jesus Christ to those around us because of the way we live, the way we behave, the way we respond to those who don't believe, to those who think differently, or those who have fallen to false gods. We lift You up today, Lord God, that You would complete Your work in this church, that You would grow this church, that we would grow in spirit and truth, that we would be more than just keepers of the word, but we will be livers of the word. Father, we pray that Your power would and Your authority over this prayer, we pray that You would motivate us, not just today, not just for the rest of this week or into the next week, but for the rest of our lives, God, draw us closer to You. And we surrender that today. We pray that today. We petition You, Lord, to guide us, to correct us, to shape us, to complete Your work, God, that You are glorified, that You are honored, that the death of Your Son, Lord, has that value, and that value would be spread and shared, adding more value to You, God. Thank You for Your sacrifice. Thank You for Your love, Lord God. Thank You for being holy and faithful. Bless us now, Lord. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, we've already prayed. We've already heard the word. Now it's time to take action. We do have an obligation. I know we hate that word, but we have an obligation. Because we've entered into that covenant with the Lord, there is an obligation. If you are a child of God, you will do the things that He asks you to do. You will live a life that honors His Son. You will be blessed, but you will also be a blessing to others. See, Americans, because we treat everything so cheaply, because it comes so easily. But it doesn't come easy. We just didn't pay the price. So today I challenge you. Now, who am I to challenge you, right? Well, I'm throwing the challenge out anyway. Think about it. I actually just talked to someone who had never seen the movie Private Ryan, Saving Private Ryan. He's promised he's going to go watch it. I also promise him that he's going to cry at the end. But when we think about what has been done, I have a very visual mind. I visualize Christ on the cross. The pain and the agony that he's going through. But that's how my mind works. What he did for me is going to take everything I have just to even be noticed. And with God at the helm, we can accomplish anything. God is a God of impossibilities. He can do anything through you, through the person who is willing to be an obedient servant. So, you know, it's often we give up one addiction for another, right? We just replace this addiction with a better addiction. You know, I stopped drinking, so now I drink 5 pots of coffee. You know, addiction is addiction. This is not the same thing. We're giving up the bondage that drags us low to be bond slaves of righteousness that lifts us up above the bondage of sin, the bondages of death, the bondages of separation, the bondages of weakness, the bondages of worry. Did I hit everyone's? Is there one I missed? If there is, it covers the bondage of that too. We serve an awesome God. As I've said before, it's time to live like it. This is the day. This is the reckoning. This is the calling out on you, each and every one of you, to live like you're saved. To live like you have a God on the throne of all creation. Live it out. Go ahead and suck somewhere along the way, because I do all the time. But the thing here is we don't cry. We don't quit. We pick ourselves up by the bootstraps, we dust the bloody knee off, and we forge ahead in the direction that God leads us. Not in where the world says we shouldn't go, not in the way that your own insecurities tell you you can't. Do you know what honor means? I do. It means to do everything you can do that's possible. To point everything at the one that you honor. Your thoughts, your actions, your speech, your neighbors. It's a challenge, right? All these things, because what God has done for you already, he expects you to be an instrument in getting that done everywhere in your life. And that is done through honoring God, recognizing and accepting the responsibility of the price that was paid. And even though we can never repay that, we will bust our hump to make it worth it. So on that day, when we're standing there, and every ugly part of our life is spewed out for all of heaven to hear, and our great Savior stands up on our behalf, then we can look him in the eye and say, I hope it was worth it. All right. Here's your mini sermon after the sermon. We've already prayed. You are dismissed until we meet again. I pray God's blessing upon you. Amen.